Just one day left until the third Back in Time live event kicks off, and I'm right now in a pub here in London together with Adam Gilmore. Adam is, of course, responsible for the music in games like The Corporation, PSI Droid, Cybex, and Neighbours. Now, is that a fair description?
Yeah, I think it's fair enough. Yeah, some of the early stuff.
Yeah. So what about Neighbours? Is that one of the tunes that you're most proud of?
No, not at all. That was a bit of a rush job, that one. Yeah, definitely. It was a pretty poor tune to start with, I think.
All right.
But, yeah, it paid.
How come you started to do computer music anyway?
I was interested in electronic music when I was about 13, playing around with synths. One of my friends had a ZX81, and I got a TRS-80, and I started doing music on a TRS-80 out of the cassette port. Kept playing the synths, was in a band, started writing music for demos, or for CompuNet. Actually, was it CompuNet? You know, the old network, yeah. Using, what's that? That music player that Jackal used to use. You know the, can you remember the old music player? There was a commercial music program. I can't remember, but it's what Barry Leach used to use.
Okay.
And I started writing tunes with that. Great bass sounds on it. And started uploading them onto CompuNet. Started getting votes, people used to vote for it. And I used to go to this software club, a Pirates Club or whatever, where people swap games. And there was a few guys there into it, and I met Brian Joblin from Zeppelin Games, who was starting Zeppelin Games up at the time, and I offered to do some music for free from him, just to get some exposure. And I think the first game I did was I can't remember what the first game was. It was not Draconis, it was not Zybex, it was before that, and I can't remember what the first game I did. What was it called? Yes, that's really how I got into it anyway, working for Zeppelin. So I know some of those guys, and I wrote my first music player, 6502.
So was it different to write, you know, music on Commodore 64 than doing it in the bands you were playing?
Yeah, most of the problem was programming and the limitations of the number of notes you could play at a time, so you had to use the tricks that you sort of learned from Rob Hubbard's tunes, you know, like the trills, chords and things like that, and lots of mixing the bass and the drums into one channel and tricks like that, so you could get more of a broader sound or a wider sound out of the 64 chip, SID chip.
So when you were composing for the C64, were you using just the C64? Were you playing around with keyboards or other instruments?
No, I had a Casio CZ-101, old Casio polysynth, really good sounds, wicked bass sounds, and I had an old Yamaha drum machine, and I bought a Kawai K1, which was really nice after I'd done a few games, and I had a few pounds to do that. So it was used to use those, bit of bass guitar as well, just to mess about with things. It was good.
So were you an employee of Zeppelin Games, or were you working freelance?
No, I was always freelance, but I knew all the guys at Zeppelin, Kevin Frankel and Mike Lowen. Jason Fox was a good friend of mine. Jason Whittaker, who's now at EA doing stuff in Canada, he wrote one of my first players. Well, my second player he wrote, or co-wrote, I suppose, with the code for it. So, I was mates with them, but I've always been freelance.
Why?
I was at school at the time, and I was going to plan on going to university, so taking a full time job really didn't figure into it at the time, and it was good enough money freelance, so freelance it was.
So was the game music composition back then something you could make a living out of?
At the time, some people like Rob Hubbard and I think Martin Gorway that were getting, I don't know how much they earned from, but I imagine it was a lot more than I got. They could make a good living from it. But at the time, I was probably doing about two or three tunes a month, maybe a few more than that. And it really wasn't as much as you could earn with a university degree and, you know, working in London or whatever, you know, doing software engineering, which is what I do now.
So what kind of music background do you have apart from playing in bands? So, have you gone to school to?
I started off when I was about 7 or 8 playing the organ, the keyboards. Then I started playing the bagpipes, And I play the bagpipes for a few years. I want to try and get back into them. Play the bass guitar in bands. That's when I started getting into bands, when I was about 13. I was in a couple of bands at school. And then got into keyboards and electronic music a bit more. And then I started playing keyboards, and I was playing keyboards in a band. Never had any formal music teaching as such. Had a few organ lessons when I was a kid, but on the whole, nothing formal.
You know, I don't know how many times I've listened to the music to the Corporation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of the geeks, you know, so I've listened to it a lot of times, and it's probably one of my favorite tunes. You don't, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think, which is the tune that you like most, if you listen to it now?
Well, I like Corporation. It's actually, Corporation was written for Draconis originally, and I'd written that piece of music for Kevin, the programmer of Draconis, and I got a call from Activision, and they offered me, they said that we need some music quit for this game called Corporation, and they offered me quite a lot of money for it, for a piece of music quit, and I had the Draconis music done, but I hadn't handed it over yet, and that was the Corporation tune, so I did some more sound effects for Corporation, and Activision got that, and then I had to write the music again for Draconis, which I thought the Draconis music was much better than Corporation.
Yeah, the Draconis tune is also one of my favorites because, you know, it fits the game perfectly.
Yeah.
It's moody and it fits the game so good.
I mean, that was a new player. That it used a different player than Corporation. Corporation was my first player that I wrote. And Draconis, I think, was the second one, and it had better bass sound, better filter control, better drums. So I think it got a much richer sound. The Draconis sound, the Corporation still sounded a bit thin, I think. The sounds weren't very big. So it was probably a good thing that Activision got that and I had to rewrite Draconis.
But the melody is, it's really something.
It's good, yeah. I mean, I was like, I'm being a sort of organist, playing sort of old cheesy jazz tunes that I used to learn, Ella Fitzgerald sort of tunes and things like that. My dad's a jazz organist, you know, your melody's always, you know, really strong in those, so, and I'm nowhere near like anything like that, but I always like a good tune, rather than effects, rather than just atmospheres. I like to have a tune there, like Neighbours, and not.
So tell me about the tune for Cybex. How did that come about?
Again, that was another one of Kevin's games. That was the first Kevin's games, actually. That was using the first version of my player as well, and that was one of my first tunes for Zeppelin. So, you know, that's how it came about. I can't actually remember how I thought of the tune or anything.
Just playing around on the keyboard.
Yeah, that's how I always did anything. Just get a bass line together, you know, pick some chords, and then just play around with the melodies, you know, and then feed it in, type it in hex, you know. Just keep playing with it until the time ran out.
You know, the remix scene is really big these days. Have you listened to some of the remixes that's been done of your tunes?
Yeah, I had a listen to the Trolls one the other day, actually. I downloaded it to have a listen. It's really good, like, so I'm hoping to pick up some CDs at the Back in Time due tomorrow. So, but I haven't heard that many. I've downloaded a few MPEGs, but I just had a 56K dial-up until recently, so it takes quite a while to download them. So hopefully I'll pick up some CDs tomorrow. I'll blag one with me on for free or whatever. Then Chris said he'd sort one out. Like. But I haven't heard that much of the stuff. No.
Are you thinking of doing something yourself?
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm sort of trying to get a band together in Kent at the minute, where I've just moved to. One of the things we might do at the start is try and do some pretty mad remixes of some of my music, maybe. I don't know, it's a good starting point, you know? So yeah, but I think it'll be very different than they sound on the Commodore. A lot of guitars, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe some bagpipes. Don't know yet.
So, what are you doing today? Are you still in composition?
Not for a job. I'm working in. I'm a contractor now, an IT contractor, doing software engineering and C++ and Windows programming and all that sort of stuff now. So, I don't have a chance to do much music at the moment, but that's hopefully going to change soon. So, I miss playing in a band and I miss playing live. So, I want to get back into that.
So is it that what you've been doing since the C64 heydays? You're still in the business? So.
Yeah, well, not for money, but I still write music. I've got a studio at home, and I've got keyboard gear now, and, you know, samplers and Cubase and that sort of thing. But I haven't written any music for games. But I did a stint at Codemasters a few years ago, but as a producer, not as a musician. Okay. And I was hoping to maybe try and get back into doing the music there, but they have very good people there now, doing very good composers, working in the computer games business now. So I'm not too hot a composer, you know.
Are you interested in doing music for games again?
The thing is, I think it changed a bit. I got a CD-ROM, I think it was Return to Zork on the PC, and they had the LA Philharmonic Orchestra doing the soundtrack on the CD-ROM, and that's when you sort of realise you're a bit out of your depth, to be honest.
But, you know, you have the Game Boy.
Yeah, I can do the Game Boy, I can do that, definitely, yeah. Game Boy Advance maybe as well. Yeah. I think it stops there these days.
We're both going to the BitLive event tomorrow. What do you think it will be like? Do you have any expectations?
I think a lot of people will be drunk. And if there's some bands playing, I think it might be a bit of a mess, possibly, but it should be good. I'm looking forward to it. So it's, I don't know, it's surprising. I was reading an interview with Rob Hubbard, and he's saying how surprised he was that there was such a retro scene on the Commodore, you know? I mean, same here. I've been following it for a few years now, but I don't know how many people you expect there, but it sounds like it's sold out. And yeah, it's a lot of people like from all over Europe and maybe further afield. I don't know. It should be good then. Yeah.
Is it really sane to care about this Commodore 64 in 2002?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you listen to some of this music. Tim Follin, you know, Tim Follin stuff, which is one of my favourite guys on the 64. Some of his stuff, you know, I mean, that holds up against the game music now, the melodies and the tunes. I don't know if Tim Follin's still doing music. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind hearing some of his CD-ROM music, you know, very, very good. Like. So, yeah, it still holds up. And I think the retro scene's a good thing, you know. It's very good.
Which other composers were you influenced of in the past?
Rob Hubbard.
Barry Leitch.
Barry Leitch, yeah. I remember calling him up to find out how much to charge, because I didn't know how much to charge people for music, and I got Barry's number off CompuNet or something like that, and I called him up, and I posed as a games company, and I said, how much do you charge to do some games, and he told me. So that's maybe if I'd done the same to Rob Hubbard, I might have been richer, I don't know. But I remember going up to Rob's house in Newcastle when I started getting into music. We had a mutual friend, and went up there and saw his and listen to his stuff, early stuff, you know, and his music was excellent. His, you know, the compositions were excellent, and I liked David Whittaker as well, was very good. I liked his sax, he had a fairly unique sound, you know. And Martin Galway, Ben Daglish, again, you know, melodies, you know, were very good, very good.
So what do you think of, if you listen back to your old tunes, what was your strong side?
God, I don't know. It's very hard to judge when you put them next to people like Rob Hubbard and Martin Galway and people like that, you know. I could turn it around quickly, that's it. I could do it tune in a day, you know. So I suppose from a commercial point of view, you know, I could always turn music around fast. Maybe that's shown in a few of the tunes, I don't know.
Don't be modest.
Some of the ones you haven't mentioned. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, Adam, for talking to me. It's been a pleasure. Finally, do you have a message for all your fans out there?
God, hello. I don't know. Oh, God. Keep rocking.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
This audio file was downloaded from www.c64hq.com.